Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
I want to dive in this morning, folks. We wrap up this fall series, Deliver Me, and got a lot I want to say, but I'm going to give a little heads up to our ministry team. We're going to have some time, so I'm going to have you minister to the body at the end of this message. And I want to talk to you this morning as we wrap this series up. We're going to be back in Luke 4. If you were here last week, going to be back in Psalm 91. I want to ask the question, do you know how powerful you are? Do you know how powerful you are? Don't misunderstand. Without the Holy Spirit, you got nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, I got nothing. I'm a big bag of flesh, selfish, prone to be narcissistic and to do my own thing. But if you know Jesus, as we said last week, if you have Jesus, you have everything. And if you have Jesus, you have the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. God sent Jesus, folks, listen carefully, not just to get us to heaven. He sent Jesus to get heaven in you. We're going to ride that theme throughout Christmas. I want you to really think about it. I think too much we've grown up in the church and we think about, oh, heaven, because we have something where we go when we die. Do you realize that is absolutely true? But you know, he came to give us abundant life now, to bring the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the blessings. This is why Jesus calls us to pray, right? In the Lord's Prayer. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the only way that's going to work is if heaven gets a hold of our souls. Church, do you know how powerful you are? When the presence of the Holy Spirit is in your soul and God is like a flame of love and joy and hope is alive inside your soul, he wants heaven in your soul so heaven will get out into this world. You are his vessel. You are the temple of the living God. Oh, yes. Nothing. You hold no treasure that can compare to that. Your creator. That's how much he wants to be with us, is to come, dwell. All of Christmas, Emmanuel, we read, means what? God with us. He prophesied about it, that he would move his spirit within all through the old. This was his work from the very beginning. He wanted heaven inside our soul. He wanted to make us like his son. Church, do you know how powerful you are? And folks, the reality is for all of us, isn't it, is that most of our days are really defined by powerlessness. You ever felt powerless? It's an overwhelming emotional state of most people. Powerless. We get into an emotional situation. We get into a fix in life. We turn and watch the news. And we feel helpless and powerless to do anything. Folks, that is not to be the normative emotional state of those who know Jesus. Those who know Jesus are to well up in hope. The God of all hope. Do you know how powerful you are? When you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, he brings hope and he brings the fruit of the Spirit. Because you know what? Everybody's powerlessness, and you know, we do a great job, don't we, of covering it up? Especially those of us that tend towards the driven type A side. Oh, we do a great job really covering it up. Just get busy. We just work harder. Man, if we just get more education, we're going to solve the issues in the world. And if I just work harder, I don't have to deal with this just crushing feeling of loneliness and hopelessness. I'm just going to give myself to my work. That's the plight of men, by the way. Right? But you notice how powerful you are? That within your soul, if you open up your heart to the living God, what he promises he will do. Come inside and make us a vessel of hope. A vessel of power, that his power through gifts that he gives us through the Holy Spirit will flow out of us to the darkness in the world and bring hope, deliverance, freedom, healing, salvation. All those things are part of salvation. So the corollary, last week we talked about if you have Jesus, you have everything. The corollary to that, folks, is you are powerful against all darkness by the Holy Spirit. There is no darkness. Jesus promises this over and over again. Luke 11, go on down the line. Promises. Dunamis is the Greek word. It's the word we get dynamite from. That is available to you. You don't have to be a seminary student. You don't have to have any credentials. A little child can move mountains if their heart is open to the living God. We're powerful in him. And he created us to be vessels of love and mercy, filled with the Spirit of God, on mission for him. We come together as the living church, the family of God. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, get equipped, and we're to go out and bring that hope and that power to change the atmosphere of our dark world. And to step into individual lives where there is no hope, we are to change the atmosphere and instill hope. Where there's depression, we're to come and bring an atmosphere of hope and restoration and joy. That's God's mission for us. You're more powerful than you would ever realize. Love what Paul says to the Ephesian church. Now to him who is able to do all things, right? According to the power that works within us, God is accomplishing his purposes, right, in this world. So if you go to the next slide, I just want you to hold on to these three things. His power, folks, does not override our will. This is very important to understand. This is tied to what I talked about last week. His power does not override your will. He does not go into somebody's heart that does not want him. If I run from him, if I wander, if I disobey him, if I clutch my fist, I'm going to do it my way. The presence of God, just like in the Old Testament, left the temple. It will not come and reside in a place that dabbles in unholiness and dabbles in selfish things. It will not. His Spirit comes to those who become desperate, to those who are thirsty. This is why Jesus cried out over and over. Anybody thirsty? Is anybody hungry? Does anybody want me? Does want God to come into their soul? But hey, if you're just going to go carry on about life, thinking you can handle your life and everything else, you know what? God will re-stay away. And that goes for a whole church as well. If you just want to do your religion, if you just want to sing some songs and hymns and have a nice little teaching and do a little service to feel good about yourself and just kind of come in and out as you want to, God's presence will not reside in a church like that. And to be honest, to be kind of harsh, this is why every denomination right now in America is dying. Is because there is a greater commitment to being called a certain denomination or a certain practice and do things rather than there's a passion for the presence of God that must be restored in his church across the board. His power will not go. It will not override our will. I have to desire him. Come, God. I have to want him. I have to hunger for him to come inside my soul. That is a will that no one can do it for you. No preacher can do it. No friend can do it. It is, as we talked about last week, it comes down between us and God. At the very depth of our soul in the spiritual realm, I have to be honest before God. Do I really want you, God? Right? And if there's barriers that keep me from moving forward in the power of the Spirit of God, it's because it's a will problem. It's my problem. Nice. It's me really holding on to something that I don't want to lay down before him. But man, when I do, when my heart is open to him, when I move from this posture to this posture, emotionally and physically, the Spirit of God comes and takes hold and does some amazing things. And what happens is this, is I begin to get hungry for the Word of God. And you know what? None of us can get the will of God for our lives and get in tune. Folks, there is nothing like knowing you're in the will of God. There's nothing like knowing you've heard from Him personally. There's nothing like knowing that you are on track doing what He's called you to do. There's nothing like living, like knowing that you are coming alive in the giftedness and uniqueness of how God created you. That cannot happen unless you are a person of the Word of God. It cannot happen without a hunger and a thirst to absorb, digest the Word of God. When it comes in the soul, like Jesus told the parable, it's like a seed and it comes in. And what kind of heart is it going to find? Is it going to find a heart that's ready to receive it and grow? Or is it going to find a heart that's hard? Seed bounce off. It's about the Word of God. Am I willing to hear it? Am I willing to submit my life and trust Him and His Word? When I do. And again, no one can make us do that. And ultimately, only God knows the depth of each of our souls of am I being honest with God. Only God ultimately knows, man, do I really long for Him? And when I feast on this, you know what happens is that, boy, He starts speaking. You see, what happens in the church is we want God to speak to us, but we don't want to take the discipline to hear His Word. I just want to pray, God, just show me what I need to do here, but I haven't been disciplined. Let me just be very clear with you. If you're in a desperate, most of the time for all of us, it's not till we get to a desperate crunch in life. Oh, God, I got to hear you. Oh, God, I got a health issue. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. Do you think you're going to have clarity from God in that situation? I'm just going to be blunt with all of us. I've been there myself. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. You will not get clarity in the crisis moment if there hasn't been a hunger and thirst to say, God, I want to hear you today. And you think Jesus, the reason He went through His temptations as He did, just what every reply was the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. You said, well, Jesus was God. You know that Jesus was raised as a rabbi at 12 years old. He had the entire Pentateuch memorized word for word. 30 years of training in the Word of God. Jesus modeled that for us. This is why He was ready at 30 for God's will to be clear to Him. I plead with you. Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry to hear it spoken, hear it preached, hear it taught, to study it, to memorize it? I want to be as clear as I can. You will not get clarity on the will of God. And you will not understand His glorious ways for your life in this world. Unless first there's a digestion. Lord, yes. Increase my hunger, God. Otherwise, you know what hunger we have? We're going to look at it. The world. The power of the world will take over in all of our lives. We all know what it's like. In a real quick and powerful way. And then when that happens, you know what happens? I'm susceptible to the fears of the world. My life becomes more characterized by fear. I react to everything really with an internal fear than I do with faith, standing on the promises of God, standing strong in the midst of crisis and other things. So that's where I want to take us. Folks, Jesus modeled this perfectly for us. He led the way. As I said, He's coming to the beginning of His ministry. The will of God, the Father, for His life on earth, that is. 30 years. Absorbed the Torah, the Pentateuch, trained deeply as a rabbi. And at 30, as a rabbi, you're not ready to teach others and have others follow you until you're 30 and you've gone through all this. And very few make it that far, for obvious reasons. He's ready. And the first thing the Spirit does is take Him to the desert. And in the desert, He is tempted. And in those 40 days in the desert, fasting, the enemy comes and pounds him with temptation. We will never have to, no one will be tempted as heavy as Jesus was. And at every turn, it was the Word of God that He spoke in response. As the temptation came, there was no silence, there was no contemplating, there was no thinking about, that sounds pretty good to me. It was immediate, boom, the Word of God. That's where God wants each of us. And then what happens is he comes out of this successful. And in verse 14, we're in Luke 4. Jesus left this temptation. And for the first time, it says, and Jesus returned, what does it say? In dunamis, in the power of the Spirit, he began his ministry. Folks, he is showing us how he wants us to live. And to realize how powerful we are when we feast on the Word of God. We open our hearts to the will of God. And we start walking in the ways of God. We become part of his glorious mission. And the clarity of purpose in my life and the clarity of what God is doing in the world, it all starts coming clear. I start seeing things, understanding things that I never would before because God's revealing it to me. He will not reveal great, give great revelation to those that aren't faithful to his word. And again, that's just hipster, isn't it? I mean, here we are in, you know, spiritual Aspen in America. I want to go on a spiritual retreat and get some great revelation. And there's no daily discipline. There's no lining my life up with that. There's no great calling and something that ties everything together. It's built upon how I want to define God. It's built upon what I like. It's mushy God. Little this, little that. There's no truth in that. There's no power in that except the power of darkness, by the way. All right? Folks, God has shown us how to walk, how to live on this earth with heaven inside our soul, the presence of God, the power of God, the gifts of God. And it's not for ourselves. So God can move through us as he wants to and push back what? The darkness to the gates of hell. And let his radical, indescribable love pour through us to others. So two things out of this passage, just finishing up this passage, folks. First one is this. We must understand what Jesus' victory over the powers of this world means for us. We must understand what this victory in the garden, it foreshadows ultimately his victory with his death and his resurrection for us. But he foreshadows that here. I'm picking up. Remember the first temptation we looked at last week was the bread? In verse 5, and the devil took him up and showed him, listen to this, all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world. And in a moment of time, and he said to Jesus, to you I give all this authority, all their glory, for it has been delivered to me. That happened all the way back in the garden. Our dominion was lost when we rejected God. And we turned over the powers and dominions of this world. We've talked about this in this series. Right, to the enemy himself. To you I will give all the authority, this authority, their glory, for it has been delivered to me. And I'll give it to whom I will. This is the devil speaking. If you, Jesus, then, will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written. And folks, let me just say, that's the most powerful thing you can do in your life. Hit with temptation. Immediately, it is written. Stand on what God says, not on how you're feeling. Okay? Stand on what God says, timeless truth, not on how I am feeling. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And him only shall you serve. Yes. What is happening here? Folks, this is nothing new. This is the temptation that goes through in the beginning of time. It's the temptation of the power of the world. It's the temptation to do things the world's way. It's the temptation to think that, you know, to really be powerful in the world, you have to have worldly authority, status, and money. Listen carefully to me. The world's way is things change with money and power and authority in this world. Authority structures. Positions of high power. This is what was handed over in the very beginning to the enemy. And that system is a system that rejects underneath. It rejects God. It says we can do it our own way. We can figure things out without God. And that system is run by money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says this. The root of all kinds of evil is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is this craving. See, money is it's not just so I can buy stuff. That's part of it, but that's the minor part. Money is power. It's worldly power. It is this craving that Paul tells Timothy in the church that has destroyed people and has opened them up to all kinds of pains in life. What Jesus defeated here was this power. And he's regained the authority in this world for God's people to operate with different authority, with a different power than the world's power. Oh, this is why it's so important how we steward our money. And we realize who's the giver and whose it is ultimately and where it comes from. The power of the world, people. It has a grip on us more than we would ever realize. Even within the church, we think that, you know, real power is money. That's how things work. Do you realize? Just study the Bible, especially the New Testament. When the kingdom, when God moves, he's the one that moves the cattle. He's the one that owns everything, controls everything. He can move in an instant resources from one place in the world to another. He can remove in an instant resources from somebody right into your bank account. Oh, yeah. If we're inside his will. If we're monitoring, if we're handling our stuff. And I don't want to get too much into this except just to say this. Listen to me. This is why, folks, listen to me here. It is so critical for God's people to handle the resource. This is why it's so critical for God's people to the first thing off the top of that paycheck is to honor God regularly. Without it, let me be very blunt. Without that discipline and that sacrifice and worship in my life, I will serve money. I will serve the powers of this world and not God. That's why God's commands from the beginning to the end are razor sharp for all of us. To make sure we give first. To recognize and break the chains of the power of money. To say right out of the chute, this is yours, God. And all power belongs to you. And ultimately, I'm not putting my hope in my bank account. It is you who can move resources and do whatever you want to do. And so, folks, please hear what I'm saying. This is not the church. The church asking for money again. That's not what it's about. Let me tell you what. It's for your soul. It's for my soul that I obey God and his commands, and I do not let the power of the world and the love of money destroy me. Without regularly giving first to God, everything that comes my way, it is impossible to stay free from the claws of the world. This is what Jesus came to defeat for us. And folks, again, this just raises the level of why it's so important to steward what we have well. A stewardship means a personal relationship. I'm stewarding it because it's not mine. It's been given to me as a blessing from him. Folks, if we just realize how important it is what God has done for us, what Jesus is, the victory he's won over the powers of the world, the freedom that would come to that. Folks, again, we equate money with power. And I just take that into your life. Everything that you see. If I just had. What do we really want? Where is our trust? Where is our hope? Right? I could give you testimony after testimony. I could point around people I see in here who could give you testimony after testimony of God doing supernatural moving of resource to meet the needs of his people in radical ways. To those who were faithful according to what God says. You can't be free unless that's a part of it. The power of the Almighty Dollar will drive you. That is the way of the world. That is not God's economy. Some of you business folks say, well, no, wait a minute. It takes money to run things. Yes, it does. But my heart needs to realize where it comes from. And I must steward it well. And then God will multiply the fish and the loaves. How are we going to feed all these people? Well, you know, if I got another job, we could go and maybe we would sell some stock, Jesus, and maybe we can figure it out. No. You go feed them. What economy are you living on? Man, that power, folks, has been broken for you. And that is the world that the enemy lives in. I mean, just think about it, right? The power. And we've heard it, right? Power corrupts. Absolute power absolutely corrupts. We all know it. It's intimate tied authority. God's people are operating on a whole nother different level of authority. Be free from the things of the world. Next one is, do we realize the victory that Jesus had over death? Do we realize what that means for us? Man, listen to this. And he took the enemy, Satan took Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels. Wait a minute, whoa. The devil is quoting scripture to Jesus? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. But Jesus, come on now. You've won this match so far with the Word of God. So let me try to weasel in and get you to doubt what God's Word says. Oh, come on, Jesus, throw yourself down, man. Because God's Word in Psalm 91, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they'll bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Oh, Jesus answered him, it is said, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. To the test. Come on, Jesus, just throw yourself. You won't die. God's promise, he'll carry you with his angels. Folks, this is exactly what the enemy wants to do. As soon as you start hungering for the Word of God, as soon as you start trusting God, as soon as you start allowing God, come, let me see the clarity of your will for my life, for your purposes for my life. I want more. You know what the enemy's going to do? Boom, he's going to hit you, and he's going to bring you to the Word, and you go, whoa, man. Just like he did Eve. Oh, come on, Eve. That's not what God meant. Really? Can you think you can really trust that? I mean, come on. Times have changed. Sexuality has changed. It's a different world. It's a new culture. Come on. Really? This thing's out of date. And anyway, it was written by a bunch of old men, and they came together in a council, and they just kind of threw out things and decided for Constantine that this is what it's going to be. Which, by the way, if you believe that, this is the biggest rewrite and joke in history. Don't go watch the Da Vinci Code or half the scholars right here that have written stuff that is absolutely off base. Okay? It's the timeless Word of God, the greatest minds in the world. There's only one book in the world that the greatest minds have gone full force after to archaeologically, theologically, scholarly, you name it, textual criticism, to attack it. Only one book. There's reason for that. Because that book speaks about the name that's above all names. Jesus is his name, right? So this verse, folks, that Jesus replies, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. This is from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the verse goes on to say, as you tested the Lord and Messiah. And folks, Messiah is where the people, again, after God provided, they tested God again. They started grumbling to the point where they were just about had it with Moses. This is Moses' great fall, because Moses, it says in Deuteronomy 32, that he broke faith with God. Oh, everything Moses did, he broke faith with God. Therefore, Moses, this is why Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land. It's because he sided with the people. And he started grumbling in his soul against God. Folks, listen carefully to me. Oh, Lord has shown this in my own life. So, radical conviction. Listen carefully. Grumbling is like a magnet to the demonic forces. Grumbling in my life. Complaining, especially to God and about his church, is a magnet to demonic oppression and deception. As soon as I start grumbling, as soon as I start complaining against God, whoo, the spiritual realm comes alive, darkness is like a channel into our lives. It's a magnet. If I get caught up in grumbling, complaining, it's a magnet for darkness to come in and take hold of my life. And let me just go a little deeper. When people complain about church, the church they're in, this is the biggest magnet of all. The enemy is on that light fire, on that person, a spirit of division, a spirit of darkness, spirit of deception, and they will move and weave throughout a church and bring about division and bring about complaining and bring about discontent. Oh, they'll whine about leadership. They'll whine about everything going on. Oh, but they won't be honest about what is going on. And the enemy takes that like a fire. Grumbling. Grumbling, folks. It is a magnet to the demonic world in our lives. It will put darkness over us. Boy, the power all through the scriptures of, oh, be careful, watch out. Nothing hardens our heart to God and his purposes more than hearts that starts grumbling, complaining. Boy, but what has Jesus done here? Power of death. He has victory over it. Folks, if I know that the power of death is defeated, and every fear, I'm free from every fear. Because what happens immediately when I start grumbling, complaining about something, and ultimately it's to God. And oftentimes if I'm in a church, I start grumbling, complaining about, oh, those people are so, all this, oh, they did this, they did that, I'm out of here. You've just opened yourself to a bunch of darkness. Instead of healthily processing like any relationship. Let's talk about this. Here are my concerns. Right? It's the enemy at work. That's how he destroys things. That's how he destroys community and family. Immediately what happens is that person gets gripped with fear. They go now under the umbrella of darkness, and fear will hit their life subtly but then powerfully. Jesus, the power of death, has been defeated. Been defeated. We stand in that victory. Folks, if you go to the next slide here, do you know how powerful you are? Folks, to overcome the enemy's temptation, you have everything you need. Just summarizing Luke 4 for us, and hopefully summarizing this series. Everything you need, right? 1 Corinthians 10, there's no temptation that could overtake you that you're not able to make a stand. It is written, I'm a child of God. I stand upon these promises. You realize how powerful you are to stand within? No temptation can overtake you. It is up to the choice of your will. Let me just say something. None of us can stand alone. This is why the church is needed. None of this happens outside of fellowship. As soon as you start thinking you can do it on your own, let me tell you what, it is another huge magnet for the demonic realm that will just sneak right in there. Sneak right in there. Folks, do you realize how powerful you are to come over the darkness of this world? Do you realize you have everything you need for life and godliness? That means God's put that there for you to be able to bring a blessing to other people's when they're down, when they're depressed, when they're struggling financially, when their marriage is a wreck, when their kids are struggling. Boy, you step in that with hope. You stand upon the word of God, and your intercession moves mountains. Never give up in prayer. Fight for people's freedom. Oh, you know how powerful you are. Do you realize how powerful your prayers are? Do you realize that your prayers are the prayers of a righteous person that availeth much? They're not ever lost. Oh, Revelation says they're in the bowls before God. God sees them. He hears them. He's acting according to the prayers of his people. Do you realize how powerful you are? To overcome every fear, especially death. So let me just be a little vulnerable. And Derek, y'all come on up because I want to give time to our ministry team to speak into this. Bring forth gifts. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning as we worship. But folks, I believe, I just want to give you insight, something I've sensed myself. Be open. When you get hit with just, yesterday was one of these days for me. And sometimes you just get hit and you're just like, just kind of down and just, man, just kind of depressed. And it might just be a gloomy day, but it could be a bright day. Pay attention. You're under attack. Take hold of what God says and bind the spirit of, just go down the list. What is this, God? This is not what you have for me. This is not the fruit of the spirit. This is, what is this? So I'm going to step out there. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a spirit of death in this community, folks. Let me be very clear with you. It has moved here for a long time. It is why, one reason why we have the per capita highest rate of suicide. There's more depression and loneliness in this community than you'd ever realize. Oh, we put a wonderful mask on it because that's what money can do and the power of the world. But there's a spirit of death. And that spirit moves, and God, I just want to encourage you that if any of that, it's the spirit of darkness, it starts with depression, it starts with feeling down, it starts with being inward, it starts feeling powerless, hopeless, lonely, no one understands. Right? And it moves, and the enemy, that's like a magnet, and the enemy comes into that and moves it, right, to something darker. And what I want to just encourage you with is listen to yourself. Call it out. Stand on the truth of God. He has life, heaven for your soul. Embrace it and lean into others' arms who can come alongside. We're to encourage each other. And that's what we're getting ready to do right now, is encourage each other with what God says. And so I'm going to pray. And folks, just as the Lord leads, you're welcome to come and just celebrate his table here this morning. But any of our ministry team that's in here, maybe this is foreign to you or whatever, but remember, church is not just coming and sitting and not participating, by the way, right? It's more than just participating at the table. It's participating with one another. It's using our gifts, not just those up here on the stage, but you, right? And so this morning, just some of our folks that are on leadership team, some of our folks that are on our ministry teams, we're just going to pray and see what the Lord has. Just enjoy his presence. Father, we rejoice in you, Lord, this Christmas season, God. Lord, what an incredible gift, Lord. You want heaven for our soul. And God, I just pray that, Father, that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, move in this place. Lord, root out darkness. Lord, root out depression. God, root out loneliness. Lord, I pray you'll root out directionlessness. Lord, I pray that you would just do awesome things. Minister to our souls, Holy Spirit. Let the gifts of your people come alive. Let your people learn. Let us learn to encourage one another, God. You're the God of all hope. Let's learn to pray for each other. Let's learn to intercede for each other, God. Lord, may you move, Father. Send forth your Holy Spirit. We want to honor your presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Holy Spirit, bring forth that freedom now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.